page 798, paragraph 47, the kinds of states that ought to be abandoned, that is 4 and 5, also the act of their abandonment. So which kinds of states these four paths abandon, and their act of abandoning? Now, which states are to be abandoned by which kind of knowledge among these four should be understood, and also the act of abandoning them? For they each and severally bring up about the abandoning of the states called fetters and so on. Now, each and severally is not the correct translation. The Pali word is yatha yoga, and so it means as is proper, or we may say as the case may be. That means each of them abandon defilements and others differently. So as is proper, bring about the abandoning of the states called fetters, defilements, wrongness, worldly states, kinds of avarice, perversions, ties, bad ways, cankers, floods, bonds, hindrances, adherences, clingings, inherent tendencies, stains, unprofitable course of action, and unprofitable thought arisings. So you see, the mental defilements are given different names. All of them are mental defilements. So the first one, the fetters, or there are 10 states beginning with greed for the fine material, so called because they fetter aggregates in this life to aggregate of the next, or they fetter karma to its fruit, or they fetter beings to suffering. That is why they are called fetters. They are like roads. For as long as the ones exist, there is no cessation of the others. So as long as there are fetters, there is no cessation of aggregates, no cessation of karma and its fruit, and no cessation of beings and suffering. That is why they are called fetters. And of these fetters, greed for the fine material, greed for the immaterial, conceit, agitation, and ignorance are called the five higher fetters, because they fetter beings to aggregates, etc., produced in the higher forms of becoming. While false view of individuality, uncertainty, adherence to rites and rituals, greed for sense desires and resentment are called the five lower fetters, because they fetter beings to aggregate, etc., produced in the lower forms of becoming. So the five mentioned later will fetter beings to lower states of existence, and the other five are to the higher forms of existence. So they are called higher and lower. So there are altogether 10. And then which fetters, which knowledge or which path abundance will be explained later. Now the author gives the list of these states. So the first are the 10 fetters. The second, the defilements, are the 10 states, namely greed, hate, delusion, conceit, false view, uncertainty, stiffness of mind, agitation, conscienceless, shamelessness. So there are these 10 are called defilements. They are so called because they are themselves defiled, and because they defile the states associated with them. So they are themselves, say, impurities, and they make others also impure. So they are called defilements. In Pali, they are called kilesas. The wrongness are the 8 states, namely wrong view, wrong thinking, and so on. They are the opposite of the Noble Eightfold Path. So wrong view, wrong thinking, wrong speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, wrong concentration. Which with wrong knowledge and wrong deliverance come to 10. That means all, they are 10 with wrong knowledge and wrong deliverance. Now wrong knowledge, which is wrong because it does not occur rightly, in conformity with truth and is wrong and mistaken owing to misinterpretation, etc., is just illusion. And wrong deliverance is the wrong notion of liberation that assumes liberation to take place in the world apex and so on. So people think that when a being reaches the highest existence, then that is the moksha, I mean liberation. So that is called wrong liberation. So there are eight wrongnesses, or there can be 10 wrongnesses. So when we take them to be 10, we add wrong knowledge and wrong deliverance. Now. Now, the next one is the worldly states. They are the states which people meet or experience in their worldly life, and they are said, there are said to be eight of those states, namely gain, loss, fame, disgrace, pleasure, pain, blame, and praise. Now, the Pali word used here for gain, labha, and for loss, alabha. So alabha means non-gain, not getting. And for fame, the word used is yasa. And for disgrace, ayasa. Now, the word yasa can mean two things. One is, say, fame, and the other is followers. So, we interpret this to mean not fame here, but to have followers, say, to be among followers, or to have followers, or to have students or pupils. And for this disgrace, we say to be alone, to not to be with followers, or having few followers. Because the last two, blame and praise, if we say fame and disgrace here, then blame and praise are the same as fame and disgrace. So our interpretation is that instead of fame, it is having friends, or having followers, or having students. And instead of disgrace, we say not having, say, many followers. Pleasure, pain, blame, praise. These eight are to be met with in a life, and nobody can escape them. They are so called because they continually succeed each other as long as the world persists. So sometimes there is gain, and at other times there is loss, and so on. Sometimes you get what you want, and sometimes you don't get, or you lose what you have. But when the worldly states are included, then by the metaphorical use of the causes named for its fruit, the approval, that is the gain, etc., as its object, and the resentment, that is a loss, etc., as its object, should also be understood as included. Now, here translation is a little different than the original. The original, what is said in the original is that by the metaphorical use of the causes named for its fruit, the approval and the resentment are to be understood as meant by worldly states. So when we say worldly states, they mean gain, loss, and so on. But here, we mean not gain, loss, etc., but approval or resentment, or our reaction to these conditions. These are the eight conditions of life. When we have gain, and we have approval, that means we are attached to gain. That when we have loss, we have aversion. So that approval and resentment, or attachment and aversion, are what are meant by these worldly states. Not just the gain, loss, etc. And the approval or the resentment is taken to be meant by worldly states by the metaphorical use of the causes name for its fruit. That means the name really is the causes name, but we must take the fruit of it. So now there is gain. Because there is gain, there is approval. That means there is attachment. So attachment is caused by gain. But when we say gain, the gain is the name of the cause. But what we must really understand is the effect of that cause. So this is called the metaphorical use of the cause's name for its fruit. It is like saying sugar is diabetes, something like that. Then the kinds of avarice are the five, namely avarice about dwellings, families, gain, dhamma and praise, which occur as inability to bear sharing with others any of these things, beginning with dwellings. Now, the Pali word for the kinds of avarice are macchariya. Macchariya is one of the mental factors. And macchariya really means inability to bear sharing with others. That means I have this thing and I don't want to share it with other persons. If other persons come and make use of it, I'm angry. So that is what is meant by avarice here. Not just stinginess. Now, we have two words, ichha and macchariya, right? And also the stinginess. Now, the avarice here is not stinginess, because stinginess is lobha, right? It is attachment. And this is accompanied by dosa. So, it is the intolerance of sharing things with others. And there are five, namely dwellings, families, gain, dhamma, and praise. Sometimes we don't want people to come to our place and live with us. So that is avarice with regard to dwellings. And family means for monks, maybe not particularly for lay people, because monks always depend on lay people for their living, and so we may be attached to, say, he is my supporter. This family is my supporter. So I don't want other monks to be acquainted with my supporter family, something like that. Gain, that is what one gets, and dhamma. That means you practice meditation and you may have some results of meditation, and you don't want those results happen to other persons. So when other persons get the same result you get, you are not happy. Something like that. And praise. The next one, and then the last one is called praise. The Pali word is vanna, V-A-N-N-A. And that is interpreted to mean two things. Both appearance, or you may say beauty, and praise. So, say you have a beautiful face, and then you don't want other people to have beautiful face, or something like that. So praise can mean both appearance or beauty and praise. The next perversions are the three, namely perversion of perception, of consciousness, and of view, which occur apprehending objects that are impermanent, painful, not self, and foul as permanent, pleasant, self, and beautiful. So if we take things as permanent, as pleasant, as self, and as beautiful, then we have one of these kinds of perversions. There are three. Perversion of perception, perversion of consciousness, and perversion of view. The next is ties. The four beginning with covetousness, so called because they tie the mental body and the material body. They are described as bodily tie of covetousness, the bodily tie of ill will, the bodily tie of adherence to rites and rituals, and the bodily tie of insisting or misinterpreting that this only is true. So this alone is true and others are false or something like that. That is called the tie here. So there are four ties. And then bad ways is a term for doing what ought not to be done and not doing what ought to be done out of zeal, desire, hate, delusion, and fear. Now, the Pali word is agati. it is actually biasness. And so we should say out of desire or out of attachment, not zeal. That means, say, I'm attached to someone and so I may be a favorable bias towards him. So I'm not just to other people, something like that. So that is what is called here, bad ways. Sometimes we hate somebody and so we do not do justice to him. Sometimes we are afraid that if we do this, the person will do something back to me, and so I'm afraid of him, and so what do you call that? Favoritism, right? So I practice favoritism towards him. Or sometimes just delusion, because I'm ignorant, and so I favor one or over the other. So these are called the bad ways. Kankas, asavas, as far as change of lineage in the case of states of consciousness, and as far as the acme of becoming in the case of kinds of becoming. Here, becoming means realms or existences. That is to say, the fourth immaterial existence. There are exudations owing to the formed nature of the object. Now, the real meaning here is these kankas, they exude, or what do you call it, drip, like a pus or something dripping from a sore. Now, the Pali word is asava. A means as far as, and sava means to drip or to exude. And here, to drip should be understood as taking as an object. So these exude means actually these take as objects, something as objects. And they exude as far as change of lineage and as far as the highest existence, highest realm or highest existence. Now, these kankas are what? Lobha, right? And then wrong view, deity, and ignorance, moha. So these can take objects. These can take change of lineage, up to change of lineage as object. And they can take the highest realm as object. So that is why it is to be understood by way of taking object. So they exude means they take them as object. Now there is a footnote, and I don't think he really understood what he was referring to here. Now the as far as, I don't know whether it is explainable in English. Now, the Pali word I translated it as far as, can mean two things. Now, let us say, as far as change of lineage may mean, not here, and up to change of lineage, excluding change of lineage, but it just reaches that dharma. And sometimes it may mean including. So there are two meanings for the Pali word a, or say as far as. Suppose and the fields say extend as far as the mountain. That means they stop when there is a mountain. So they do not include, the fields do not include the mountain. When we say the Buddha's fame and goes as far as the highest realm, that means including the highest realm. So here, the inclusion is meant. So as far as change of lineage means including change of lineage. And as far as the acme of becoming, or as far as the highest rank means, including highest rank. I think you say through or something like that, right? Say Monday through Friday means Monday, and then including Friday, so something like that. This is a term for greed for sense desires, greed for becoming, wrong view and ignorance, because of the exuding of this defilement from unguarded sense doors, like water from cracks in a pot, in the sense of constant trickling, or because of they are producing the suffering of round of rebirths. The next is the floods. They are called floods again, the same things, in the sense of sweeping away into the ocean of becoming, and in the sense of being hard to cross. Then bonds. They are called so called because they do not allow disengagement from an object and disengagement from suffering. Both floods and bonds are terms for the cankers already mentioned. So the same states are called, sometimes called cankers, sometimes floods, and sometimes bonds, the same thing. Then the hindrances are five, namely lust, ill will, stiffness and torpor, agitation and worry and uncertainty, in the sense of obstructing and hindering and concealing reality from consciousness. So these are the five hindrances we often encounter during meditation. And then adherence and misapprehension, the Pali word paramasa, is a term for wrong view, because it occurs in the aspect of missing the individual essence of a given state. That means going beyond the individual essence of a given state and apprehending elsewise an unactual individual essence. So that means taking something wrongly. And the clingings, they are upadanas, are the four beginning with sense desire clinging, describing all their aspects and the description of the dependent origination. And then inherent tendencies are the seven, namely greed for sense desires, etc., in the sense of inveterateness, stated thus, the inherent tendency to greed for sense desires, the inherent tendency to resentment, conceit, false view, uncertainty, greed for becoming and ignorance. So there are altogether seven. For it is owing to their inveteracy that they are called inherent tendencies, since they inhere as cause for the arising of greed for sense desire, etc., again and again. Now, inherent tendencies really means the seven of the defilements. But when they are called inherent tendencies, they are not the real defilements, but those that can arise when there are conditions. When they really arise, we call them defilements or kilesas. Suppose I am liable to get attached to things, but right now I'm teaching Dhamma and there is no attachment in my mind, so I'm free from attachment now. But if I see something which I like, then I'm attached to it, then attachment arises. So there is a liability of attachment to arise in me. So that is what is called inherent tendencies. So when attachment really arises, it is killing, it is defilement now. So before reaching the stage of defilement, it is called latent tendency or inherent tendency. So it is like, how do you call that? Being under the surface. So when it surfaces, it is called defilement. So when it lies dormant underneath, it is called anusaya, inherent tendencies. So they are seven. We have something to talk about to talk about them later. Then the stains are the three, namely greed, hate, and delusion. They are so called because they are themselves dirty like oil, black and mud, and because they dirty other things. The next, unprofitable causes of action, there are ten, namely killing living beings, taking what is not given, sexual misconduct, false speech, malicious speech, harsh speech, gossip, covetousness, ill will, and wrong view. They are so called since they are both unprofitable actions, karma, and causes that lead to unhappy destinies, unhappy rebirths. Then the unprofitable thought arisings are the 12, consisting of the 8 rooted in greed, the 2 rooted in hate, and the 2 rooted in delusion. They are 12 unwholesome types of consciousness. The Pali word cittubada is translated as here thought arisings. Actually, they are types of consciousness. So there are 12 types of consciousness. So these 4 kinds of knowledge, each and severally, or as is proper, abandon these states beginning with the fetters. How? Now, the 5 states eliminated by the first knowledge in the case of the fetters, firstly are false view of personality, doubt, adherence to rites and rituals, and then greed for sense desires and resentment that are strong enough to lead to states of loss. Now, with regard to defilements or these unwholesome states, they have, we may say, 2 or 3 layers. The one is strong enough to lead to rebirth in woeful states. And there are some defilements that are not strong enough to lead to woeful states, but still they are defilements. So, the first knowledge or the first path eliminates false view of personality, doubt, adherence to rites and rituals, and then greed for sense desires and resentment that are strong enough to lead to states of loss. So the first path eradicates false view of personality, doubt, and adherence to rites and rituals altogether, once and for all. But greed for sense desire and resentment, it cannot eradicate altogether, but it eradicates the stronger forms of sense desire and resentment which lead to states of loss. That means which leads to 4 woeful states. That means a sotapanna, after becoming a sotapanna, we have lobha, still lobha and dosa. Right? Isodhapanna eradicates only deity, wrong view and doubt. So there are other mental defilements remaining with him. But these mental defilements are not strong enough to give him rebirth in 4 woeful states. The remaining gross greed for sense desires and resentment are eliminated by the second knowledge. Subtle greed for sense desires and resentment are eliminated by the third knowledge. The 5 beginning with greed for the fine material are only actually eliminated by the 4th knowledge. So, we have to understand the eradication of defilements in this manner. The different paths, actually the first path eliminates mental defilements or the ability of some mental defilements to lead us to 4 woeful states. And then there is a note. In what follows, we shall not in every instance specify the fact with the expression only. Nevertheless, whatever we shall say is eliminated by one of the 3 higher knowledges should be understood as only the residual state eliminated by the higher knowledge, for that state will have already been rendered not conducive to states of loss by the preceding knowledge. You understand this?
No.
Now, in what follows, we shall not in every instance specify the fact with the expression only. Now, you see the word only in the paragraph above, the last line. The five beginning with greed for the fine material are only eliminated by the fourth knowledge. So if the author says only, we have to understand in one way. And if he does not use the word only, we have to understand in another way. So that is what is meant. The translation is not so understandable. Now, let us look at the next one. In the case of defilements, false view and uncertainty are eliminated by the first knowledge. They are eliminated totally. Hate is eliminated by the third knowledge totally. Greed, delusion, conceit, mental stiffness, agitation, conscienceless, and shamelessness are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. Now here, it doesn't say fourth knowledge only, right? There is no only here. So we have to understand that greed, delusion, conceit, and others are eliminated by the previous parts also, but not total elimination. The elimination is the stronger forms of greed, delusion, and so on. So what the fourth knowledge eliminates, many of them, what the fourth knowledge eliminates is the remaining subtle forms of greed, delusion, and so on. The grosser forms of greed, delusion, and so on are eradicated by the first part, and then maybe by the second and by the third. So since there is no only here, say, are eliminated by the fourth knowledge and not the fourth knowledge only, we have to understand this way. In the case of the wrongness, wrong view, false speech, wrong action, wrong livelihood are eliminated by the first knowledge. Wrong thinking, malicious speech, and harsh speech are eliminated by the third knowledge. Now, the third knowledge is the anagami knowledge, non-returner, right? So the anagami can eradicate anger altogether and grosser forms of attachment. So the wrong thinking, malicious speech, and harsh speech are eliminated by the third knowledge. And here only volition is to be understood as speech. So although the word speech is used, we must understand it to mean volition. Gossip, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, wrong concentration, wrong deliverance, and wrong knowledge are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. Here also, since there is no only, we must understand that the stronger ones are eradicated by the previous knowledges or previous paths. In the case of worldly states, resentment is eliminated by third knowledge, and approval is eliminated by the fourth knowledge. Some say that approval of fame and praise is eliminated by the fourth knowledge. But he didn't say whether it is to be accepted or not. Maybe he doesn't like, the author doesn't like it. But just as an information he gives. The kinds of avarice are eliminated by the first knowledge only. So they are eliminated by first knowledge, the five kinds of avarice. In the case of perversions, the perversions of perception, consciousness, and view, which find permanence in impermanent and self in the not-self, and the perversions of view finding pleasure and pain and beauty in the fall are eliminated by the first knowledge. The perversions of perception and consciousness finding beauty in fall are eliminated by the third part. The perversions of perception and consciousness finding pleasure in the painful are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. In the case of ties, the bodily ties of adherence to rites and rituals and of the insistence or misinterpretation that this is the truth are eliminated by the first knowledge, because they are all wrong views. The bodily tie of ill will is eliminated by the third knowledge. The remaining one is eliminated by the fourth part. The bad ways are eliminated by the first knowledge only. So when a person becomes a sotavana, then he will not practice favoritism. In the case of the cankers of view is eliminated by the first knowledge because it is wrong view. The canker of sense desire is eliminated by the third knowledge. The other two are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. The same thing applies in the case of floods and bombs. In the case of hindrances, the hindrance of uncertainty is eliminated by the first knowledge, because it is doubt. The three, namely lust, ill will, and worry, are eliminated by the third knowledge. Lust means desire for sensual things. Stiffness and torpor and agitation are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. Adherence is eliminated by the first knowledge only, because adherence means just wrong view. So wrong view is eliminated by first knowledge. In the case of clingings, upadana, since according to what is given in the text, all worldly states are sense desires, that means objects of sense desires. I would like to put objects of there. All worldly states are objects of sense desires, not sense desires as objects. So, all worldly states are objects of sense desires, and so greed, both for the fine material and immaterial, falls under sense desire clinging. Now, you remember the clingings, right? Sense desire clinging, and then wrong view clinging, and the others are also wrong view. Although the word sense desire is used here in Pali, also kamu padana, we must understand that sense desire for material and the immaterial states are also to be taken as sense desire here, because they are a lobha or attachment. So here, sense desire clinging means just attachment, lobha. In the case of inherent tendencies, the inherent tendencies to false view and to uncertainty are eliminated by the first knowledge. The inherent tendencies to greed for sense desire and to resentment are eliminated by the third knowledge. The inherent tendencies to conceit, pride, to greed for becoming, and to ignorance are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. In the case of stains, the stain of hate is eliminated by the third knowledge. The others are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. In the case of unprofitable causes of action, killing living things, taking what is not given, sexual misconduct, false speech, and wrong view are eliminated by the first knowledge. The three, namely malicious speech, harsh speech, and ill will, are eliminated by the third knowledge. Gossip and covetousness are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. In the case of unprofitable thought arising, the four associated with false view, and that associated with uncertainty, making five, are eliminated by the first knowledge. The two associated with resentment are eliminated by the third knowledge. The rest are eliminated by the fourth knowledge. Do you find mention of the second knowledge? No, right?
Yeah.
Why? Did you ever wonder? Now, the second knowledge does not eliminate any mental defilements altogether. It makes the remaining mental defilement sattva. So that is why it is not mentioned here. Now, knowledge, I mean information. The first knowledge eliminates what? Wrong view and doubt. Now, and second knowledge eliminates what?
Weakens.
Right. So it does not eliminate any more mental defilements, but it weakens the mental defilements. And the third knowledge eliminates what?
Attachment
for sensual things, the kama vajra, and
aversion
or dosa, ill will. And then the fourth knowledge eradicates the remaining mental defilements. Now, we come to an interesting discussion. And what is eliminated by any one of them is caused that to be abandoned by it. That is why it was said above, so these four kinds of knowledge, as is proper, abandon these states beginning with fetters. The act of abandoning, but how then? Do these knowledges abandon these states when they are past, or when they are future, or when they are present? So it's very interesting. Now, we say that path or path knowledge eradicates mental defilements. So the question here is, do these knowledges abandon these states? These states mean these mental defilements when they are past, or when they are future, or when they are present. In Pali, the sequence is past, future, and present. That's why it says past, future, and present here. Now, what is the position here? For firstly, if they are said to abandon them when past or future, it follows that the effort is fruitless, because the past has already passed, and you don't have to do anything about it. It has already gone. And the future has not yet come, and so you cannot do anything about it either. So there is no question of the path knowledges abandoning the past defilements or future defilements. But what about the present one? Does the path eliminate the present mental defilements, or the mental defilements which are in existence at the moment? No. Because if they are present, there can be no path at all. A path and mental defilements do not arise together. Then the path eradicates nothing. So then if it is when they are present, it is likewise fruitless, because the things to be abandoned exist simultaneously with the effort, and it follows that there is development of the path that has defilement, or it follows that defilements are dissociated from consciousness. Now there are three things here. Then if it is when they are present, if you say that they are abandoned when they are present, it is fruitless, because the things to be abandoned exist simultaneously with the effort. That means the things to be abandoned would simultaneously arise with the effort, because the effort here is path consciousness. And it follows that there is the development of path, that means arising of path, that has defilement. If you say the present defilements are eliminated, then it amounts to saying that the path and defilements arise together. And no defilement can arise with path. Defilements belong, defilements are unwholesome mental states, and path is wholesome mental state. So wholesome mental state and unwholesome mental state cannot arise at the same time. And it follows that defilements are dissociated. Then you may say, at the moment of path, there are no defilements, but the path eradicates the defilements. So if you say so, then it will amount to saying that defilements can arise without consciousness. And that is not so. Defilements are mental states, mental factors, and as mental factors, they can arise only when there is consciousness. So they are never dissociated from consciousness. But if you say at the path moment defilements are eliminated, then you say that they can be dissociated from consciousness. So path consciousness does not eradicate the past defilements,
nor the future defilements, nor the present defilements. So if there are defilements present in the mind, there can be no path at all. So it eradicates nothing. That is not an original argument. Here, original really means this argument or this discussion is not peculiar to this book only. This discussion has already been in other books. For in the text, first the question is put, and then he quotes the text. I think the text is the same as what we have said. So the Magga eradicates neither the past nor the future nor the present defilements. Then what does it eradicate? What does it abandon? Now please go to paragraph 80. What does that show? It shows abandoning of defilements that have soil to grow in. It's difficult here. The use of the word, the Pali word, bhubilada. But are defilements that have soil to grow in past, future, or present? Now, the answer is, the first answer is, the path abandon the defilements